B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
People are still, when I was out for those 7 weeks and not saying anything, and still people are still saying things about me, it's inevitable. You know, they crucified Martin Luther King for speaking about peace and social integration. You could go back to historical leaders and great people in society that do great things, and they're still going to talk shit about them. It is what it is. Like, I know what I stand for. I'm a great family man. I have great values, core values. This basketball stuff is a game at the end of the day. It's dramatized. It's entertainment for people and fans. I'm a human being at the end of the day. I'm going to keep on reiterating that.
I'm sorry for acting like a juice.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and we were exploring the Kyrie Irving and what he's been saying and how he has realized that the NBA is entertainment. And even though it's entertainment and dramatized, he still has to continually defend himself as being a fantastic person and teammate.
Well, I mean, nothing better than on Martin Luther King Day, comparing your time that you were away from the court while people were saying things about you to being Martin Luther King.
But yeah, but in his point,
who was assassinated.
No, his point is that, look, they've said terrible things about these great men. You know, they're going to say stuff about me. And then we got into when he started talking about how that Julie in the locker room about how the last time the Nets won a championship, there was Julius Irving. And then he said,
And then his teammates laughed at him.
And then they ended up laughing at him. And I made the point that he's become Michael Scott.
Yeah, he is the one that everyone is laughing at who thinks they're smart.
Yeah, he is the guy that thinks everyone's in on the joke. Like in the episode of The Office where the DVD thing, the box goes around. And Michael Scott, when they start cheering for the box and they go, I'll get up and leave. He's like, some days you just got it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, like he's the guy who thinks, all right, like,
yep.
You know, I nailed it. I hit it out of the park.
It's so funny because I heard everyone yesterday calling him the Kanye West, the NBA, but you nailed it. He's the Michael Scott of the NBA. There's no question. No question at all.
Yeah, like Kanye West is considered like a troubled genius.
But he's one of those guys that when you hear them talk, you just immediately just get these chills like, ugh, did he not know how horribly that was going to come out? And there was a moment after the AFC Championship game the other day. And this makes it hard to root for Kansas City. There's a bunch of reasons why. There's only one reason to root for him. And in my opinion, it's Andy Reid, because who doesn't love Andy Reid?
We just played three clips in the 7 o'clock hour of him devouring food or talking about devouring food.
Right. Andy Reid said that after the AFC Championship, they said, what did you do? And he goes, well, I got a cheeseburger and I went to bed.
Which I think is the reverse order. I think he went to bed with a cheeseburger.
He may have. But then, unfortunately, all the goodwill that Andy Reid ends up giving you, this guy ends up taking away.
Appreciate it. I'll tell you what. It's been 7 years coming, baby. I learned one thing since I've been here. You gotta fight for your right to party!
That's it from here.
It would have been funny if the dude who was holding the mic just threw up. just said, I can't do it anymore.
Just like all over him?
Yeah. Like, what the hell are you talking about? First of all, it doesn't make sense. And second of all, like, anytime you're announcing it's time to party.
For the original party animal.
In 7 years, I've learned one thing.
I mean, it is, as I said, it's a knockoff version of Rob Gronkowski. Like, you are the Hydrox cookies
to
his Oreos.
Not even Gronk would have said that.
You would have.
Well, no.
See, but the thing is, when Gronk says stuff, you know it's just because his brain works that way. Like, Kelsey thought that was, like, a cool thing to say and probably thought about it beforehand, too.
He definitely thought about it beforehand.
Like, Gronk just, like, stuff will shoot into his head and he'll say it. Like, Yo Soy Fiesta, do you think that he planned that?
No.
No, he didn't.
Like, I'm a Roberto. Mi soy Fiesta. It just like, came out of his head.
Well, when he said that if he could have any superpower, it would be to be able to transport himself to
Florida. Florida.
So, and I was thinking about it. Like, I mean, this is a long line of people who just like get the stage in these big moments and just make you go, oh, what are they thinking? And I mean, is Kelce any worse than some of the people that we've seen around here, including this guy?
Please, please, please take a moment of silence for the heavy hearts that we gathered in our clubhouse and outside of our clubhouse. Please understand what everybody had on their back for a minute. Moustakas, CY, Volquez.
You didn't
understand,
play, Johnny.
Please give me a moment of silence.
Not only did he not play.
Why is he having a moment of silence?
It's unbelievable what those boys did. It's unbelievable what they did.
You didn't give the mic to someone who played.
It's unbelievable what they did.
Yes, we heard you.
They stole bases. They hit homers. Hey, guess what? Cy Young winner. Not on our team. Beat him. Rookie of the year. Not on our team. We beat him. MVP of the whole league. Sorry, guys. Not on our team. But we beat that guy, too.
Well, the best part about that, which I've said before, is there's this guy I know who does radio in Kansas City named Johnny Dare. And I was listening to them. They're an hour behind, obviously. And I was listening to them on the way home. And they were playing that clip, and they couldn't figure out who it was.
Like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon.
I mean, he had, even when he was with the Red Sox, he had all of that stuff scripted.
Well, that was not scripted. That was just give me the microphone.
That was give me the microphone.
Yeah, that was like,
I got half an American flag.
Yeah, once he grabbed the flag, that was like, you ever see... Shazam, like when he grabbed the flag, he became Gomes.
Super Gomes.
He became Super Gomes.
I mean, I've said it before. Ken Rosenthal will forever like be one of my favorites because of something he did. So after the Red Sox win the World Series, or maybe this was the I think it might have been the World Series. Johnny Gomes apparently went over to Ken Rosenthal and told him what to ask him, and Rosenthal called him out.
Johnny, you just instructed me what to ask you. The team was 10-1 with you starting in the postseason. How'd that happen?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of saber metrics, and there's a lot of numbers and stuff, you know, the whole war stat, you know, but when we go to playoffs, you know, it's, you want me to go to war with, you know, so, man, I say I work inside a museum, but this is the loudest a museum's been in a long time.
So the question that he wanted Ken Rosenthal to ask him, I'm not joking, the way that was set up, it was like, hey, Ken, team's 10-1 when I'm playing with them. Ask me why that is.
Yeah.
Ask me why the team's so great when I'm on it.
Well, you learned also you had to fight for your right to party.
I mean, you do have to fight for your right to party.
There's no question about
that. But he's not the only one who liked to party.
Where's my party people at in Boston?
I mean, is Kelce any douchier than Jonathan Papelbon was?
Wasn't Jonathan Papelbon stuck outside your window?
Yes. So there was during the championship parade in 07, I was as sick as I've ever been. Like, I mean, I was one of those things where it feels like you can't sit up. And the Jonathan Papelbon Dropkick Murphys float was stuck outside my window. And it was the loud, like it was ear-piercingly loud. And I remember finally getting up out of my bed just to see what the hell is happening and why isn't this moving. And I see that jackass playing a broom as a guitar. And the poor guys from the Dropkick Murphys having to play Tessie over and over and over again.
Just like growing up. Mm-hmm. Just like with the, or not growing up, just like when I was in Atlanta and if you played that baseball game. Tessie played every single time they chirped
over.
It's
time to party.
What's up? Where's my party people at in Boston? And while we're kicking ass, we need y'all to party your ass off.
Party hard. Party hard. Party hard.
When I come out of that bullpen, they get the party started. Dropkick Murphy's here tonight, baby.
Party hard. Party hard. Party hard.
Oh, and while we're kicking ass, we need you to party your ass off.
That's right. That's right. Party.
And you
dance around with your hands in the air.
Gronk is so pure compared to all these guys.
I don't know, Papelbon's pretty dumb. Well, I mean, yeah. I'm sure that he was just being dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's a big dumb hick.
He is a big dumb hick.
I mean, so I would imagine that's what big dumb hicks do when they all get together. Is they have an ass-kicking good time.
That is true.
There you go.
Well, at least you're not Christopher Stieg when the Blackhawks ended up winning a championship.
And we got one player that's pretty good at singing songs. Does anybody want to hear a song? All right, everybody. Number 32, Christopher Stieg. Let's do a little rap I made up.
Oh, every time I dive in my pool, it's hard to be humble. Well, I do a breaststroke through an underground tunnel and come up on the other side in a jacuzzi, being greeted by two girls that are wearing my jersey. They give me lots of hugs and kisses, and they ask me what my wish is. I say, go and get your friends, because there's gonna be a party. And in the end, the Stanley Cup is a dream, and I'm like, yes, the party's coming.
That was a song? Okay, that we have a new champion.
We might have a champion.
Dude, we have a new champion. So, oh boy. Oh boy.
We have a champion.
You know how, like, you'll get drunk and you'll wake up the next morning and you'll go, oh, Jesus, what did I say?
Yeah.
That's one of those. Well, first of all, he wrote it out. And I'm hoping that he was intoxicated when he did. But it sounds like he probably wasn't. But that's got to be like hundreds of thousands or millions of people just heard what I just did. I jump into a pool, and then I go through a tunnel. I pop up into a jacuzzi.
With girls wearing my jersey.
And then something else happened. Play it again.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am sure.
I better pucker up. Here we go.
And we got one player that's pretty good at singing songs. Does anybody want to hear a song?
It's a good hype man. He likes songs.
All right, everybody. He's... Number 32, Christopher Stieg. Let's do a little rap I made up.
Every time I dive in my pool, it's hard to be humble. Well, I do a breaststroke through an underground tunnel and come up on the other side in a jacuzzi, being greeted by two girls that are wearing my jersey. They give me lots of hugs and kisses, and they ask me what my wish is. I say, go and get your friends, because there's gonna be a party. And in the end, the Stanley Cup is a dream, and I'm like, yes, the party's coming.
Kind of puttered out at the end of that.
Yes.
He was hugging and kissing, though. Mm-hmm. Smoochie, smoochie.
Andy Reid, what did you think of that rap?
Come on,
thank you, Andy Reid.
The fat guys love saying, Yeah. All right. We will be back. Michael Gorman will join us. He of the fabulous NBC Sports Boston Celtics crew.
Toucher and Rich. Check this out. Crunch for time, but still want to know what happened? Listen to Condensed in a Nutshell. Versions of the shows on the podcast page at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, pretty much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
People are still, when I was out for those 7 weeks and not saying anything, and still people are still saying things about me, it's inevitable. You know, they crucified Martin Luther King for speaking about peace and social integration. You could go back to historical leaders and great people in society that do great things, and they're still going to talk them. It is what it is. Like, I know what I stand for. I'm a great family man. I have great values, core values. This basketball stuff is a game at the end of the day. It's dramatized. It's entertainment for people and fans. I'm a human being at the end of the day. I'm going to keep on reiterating that.
I'm sorry for acting like a juice.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and we were exploring the Kyrie Irving and what he's been saying and how he has realized that the NBA is entertainment. And even though it's entertainment and dramatized, he still has to continually defend himself as being a fantastic person.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five-game trip for the Lakers. New York, Brooklyn, Philly coming up. Jaylen Brown catches, drives left side, elevates over Danny Green and throws it down hard with two hands, and Frank Vogel has to call a timeout. It happened out of nowhere, and it's not the first time tonight the Celtics have caught the Lakers on an inbound.
Excuse me, what you miss here is LeBron James got dunked on. He got his sandwich picked and taken. Take that, the king.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Mike Gorman, who unfortunately was not on television last night, NBC Sports Boston. He is the voice of the Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Mike Gorman.
How about that last night, huh?
That was just
okay.
Unexpected.
I have a question for you. Now, I want the LeBron clip. And, okay. I want you to... There's a disagreement here in studio. I want you to tell me if you
How feel, unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great. I'm sorry, that was from another bad show. Okay, so tell me if you think LeBron James is being egotistical in this clip.
You don't take it personal.
He's talking about LeBron getting dunked on by Jaylen Brown. The question was, you know, what do you make of that?
You don't take it personal. It's part of basketball. Guys, you go for blocks, you get blocks, you get dunks. I think if you were to tally up my successful block attempts compared to my successful dunk ons, I think I'm kind of more like, so it's not the first time I've been dunked on. Might not be the last time I get dunked on, but, you know, Jaylen's been playing exceptionally well this year, and that was a good play.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
On LeBron's comments?
Yeah. Was he being egotistical?
Well, he, of course, he's LeBron.
See, I think
Thank
that
you,
was
Mike.
I
didn't have to was, mention the whole one. Listen, I blocked a lot of those.
I don't think that was bad. He gave credit.
But
to Brown.
He negated it by saying, "But you know, I blocked a lot of those." Before,
no, but it
so
doesn't negate
you know,
it. He says
good.
He's having a great year. It happened before. It could happen again. I found that to be that people having issues with that comment. I found that to be a bit much.
Well, I don't necessarily have issues with it, but I mean. You can't play in that league unless you have a huge ego.
Right.
So, you know, and he's the king, so he's got the biggest ego.
Well, I mean, the guy I think who compared himself to Martin Luther King yesterday might have a bigger ego. That's
in the running. Well, you know,
he has other problems.
I'm starting to think he doesn't have a big ego and that he is very insecure in his covering things up.
I think
he's got a lot going on, mentally, because he keeps saying it's just entertainment. And then keeps, I know you don't like talking about this, Mike, so I'll keep it short. But he you know, keeps saying it's just entertainment, but then he feels this need to continually defend himself. So
yes, he does. Yes. He does feel a need to defend himself all the time, which and I don't quite understand why.
Because his ego is, because obviously he is some pretty big insecurities, I would guess. And it gets to him when people don't talk about him nicely.
Well, but he's, you know, he's got writers and he has broadcasters and people who want to fawn over him, who want to be his buddy, who want to do interviews with him. And so it's such an easy track for him to take to be the good guy. Instead, he just takes the other road all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I find hard to figure out. I mean, he's got what looks like a perfect situation, and all he can do is find things wrong with it and the system and the fact that it's entertainment. I don't want to be down that road.
Sure. No, we've been down there before too. But the one thing about last night's game, because it was a great game for several reasons. Number one, you finally got a game worth watching in January, because January basketball can be really tough to, and you can't really read anything from it because you know these guys are coasting until the All-Star break. But you saw two teams that both truly wanted to win, who were healthy. All the players were playing. All the main cogs were in the wheel. And you saw domination last night. It's tough not to get excited about something like that. So what did you take away from that win?
That they weren't as good as I had been led to believe. I don't stay up until 2 a.m. watching West Coast games on the league package and stuff like that. So I just tend to see highlight packages and hear people talk about the Lakers. And I just expected much more last night, not to take away from what the Celtics did, but I expected much more out of LA, especially with Anthony Davis back again. And instead, I saw a team that to me looked very beatable. Now, not to say they're not a good team, but certainly, going into last night, you would have to say who's the best team in basketball while the debate's between Milwaukee and the Lakers. If that's the case, the Celtics have wins over both already this year. So from a Boston point of view, you're going to feel pretty good.
Mike, how would you assess the Celtics' big man situation? Obviously, the narrative has been, well, the Celtics need a big man to compete with Milwaukee and Philadelphia in the East. And then you see Enes Kanter and the run he's been on the last couple of weeks.
Anthony Davis is hurt. Davis was in foul trouble.
Can he be that guy moving forward? Or how much would you give up for a big man, I guess, is the question here.
Not much. Not too much. I think if we could get Robert Williams back in the next 2 or 3 weeks at some point, and then Brad has 18 fouls to play with at the center position, which I think is a really good position to be in, and have three guys who do the job. They don't do the job in the same way, especially when you bring back Robert. You get added a lot of athleticism to the five spot. But to go back to your Kanter situation, Kanter is exactly what he was built to be coming in, a guy who doesn't play a whole lot of defense, but gets just about every rebound that's available when he's on the court. And Tice gives you a little different look. Tice shoots the three a little bit. Tice a little more aggressive as a shot blocker, had that great blocker on Giannis in the Milwaukee game. So I would rather go with the three-headed center, I guess is what I'm trying to say, than necessarily make some move right now that would disturb the core of this team to bring in who? Andre Drummond?
Drummond, see, the two that I've heard the most is, Drummond, obviously, because they were just in town and everyone was talking about him. And Chris Mannix said something that I actually agree with. And that is, if he's an all-time rebounder and this dominant of a player there, and he's been playing on a crap team ever since he's been in the NBA, imagine what this guy could be on a good team playing for a good organization.
Well,
shoot threes.
I don't know the answer to that question. You play on a bad team, there's a lot of rebounds available. That's where I thought you were going with.
Yeah, I don't really know with his style of play what him. I mean, he's not going to score anymore.
You're not going to throw the ball into the post and suddenly become an inside-out team.
But the Celtics have the scoring. What you need is a guy that can body up against Giannis.
Okay, but how, to Mike's point, and I'm asking this honestly. How, if with Drummond's game, which is defensive and rebounding, and not offense, I don't understand how being on a good team would improve that.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily would.
No, that doesn't mean
it wouldn't improve his offensive numbers, but would give you a defensive rim protective presence and would give you a strong rebounder.
Oh, I know,
but
what he would bring.
We have the strong rebounder right now in Kanter, so. Again, what would you have to give up to get Andre Drummond? That's the key. And Detroit is going to want a lot. And so do you give up Gordon Hayward for him? I don't think so.
Oof.
Do you give up Marcus Smart? Certainly not. You're not going to touch Brown or Tatum.
You wouldn't give up Gordon Hayward for Andre Drummond?
No.
I would do that.
I would throw him in for fun.
You see, Fred, I think you and I disagree on the value of Gordon Hayward. I just think that you've got enough scoring right now. And I know Gordon Hayward, he's been for the most part, very good.
What is the value of Gordon Hayward to another team, though?
I mean, I don't know.
He's been good at times. He's been injured a lot. I mean, which Gordon Hayward are you getting?
And if I'm the Pistons, why would I want Hayward?
Expiring contract.
Yeah, I know. But okay, I'm not
what you got, what you guys haven't mentioned yet, why I wouldn't give, why I wouldn't give up Gordon Hayward, is I think that would really negatively affect Boston's offense. Hayward is a very unselfish player, and you notice he gets his hands on the ball a lot. As soon as the ball gets across half court, the ball gets into Hayward's hands, and Hayward often is the guy who makes the play for other people. You take him out of the mix and replace him with Drummond, who fills that role of being the distributor?
I mean, you've got a lot of guys that distribute the ball on this team. I mean, you've got a decent amount of wings. I mean, just between... Yeah, between Kemba, Jaylen, and Jason Tatum, I think you're doing fine in that department.
Yeah, but you just mentioned three guys who want the ball to score, not want the ball necessarily to pass it to somebody else.
I know, but I think that you can actually...
You've seen Tatum take shots with 8 seconds left on the shot clock? Yeah, ISO'd on one side of the floor?
No, I understand what you're saying. I think that's a fixable problem, though. I don't think that they are... They're not Kyrie Irving. They're not Carmelo Anthony. You know what I mean? They're not guys that are going to get the ball in their hand or James Harden and just... if it gets in their hand, they're chucking it. I think that there's... You know, they distribute the ball a little more than I think we're giving them credit for.
The three guys you mentioned...
Yes, those three.
Yes, I'm not knocking their distribution at all. I'm saying, but what I want is I don't necessarily want Kemba distributing the ball. I want Kemba getting open to shoot.
Sure.
I want Tatum taking the ball to the basket. I want Brown taking the ball to the basket. I don't want them necessarily looking for somebody else. Hayward is content with penetrating and looking for other people and taking his shot as a last resort. I don't want to suddenly make Kemba Walker a last resort shooter.
How about that other one that's being thrown around out there? And that is, you know, Karl Anthony Towns not happy right now where he's playing, even though he just signed that massive contract. And I saw a trade proposal that was out there that you would give up. It would be Tatum, Hayward, Carson Edwards, and Robert Williams for Karl Anthony Towns. Is that a deal you would make?
Wow, that's just too much. That's way too much.
Man, but Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, is he the best player out of all those?
No question, he's a good player. He seems to be a troubled player to some degree, but maybe that's just being in Minnesota and being frustrated there. But that's a lot to give up. I'm not saying I wouldn't love to have conversations that involve Karl Anthony Towns, but that I think you're giving away the farm with what you just mentioned there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. I think you have to. But, I mean, to get a guy that talented... I mean, and he's young, too, and you'll be able to have him for a while. That's another thing. But
Do you think Karl Anthony Towns long-term has a better career than Jason Tatum does?
Yeah. Yep, I do. Absolutely.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, and I love Jason Tatum. I just think that Karl Anthony Towns is a superstar right now.
Yeah, no, he is. He is at his position. There's no question about it. Yeah. I just think that's – you give up four guys you were giving up there, Tatum –
Tatum, Hayward, Carson Edwards, and Robert Williams.
Robert Williams, too. Wow. Okay.
You love Robert Williams.
That's why they make deals, because there's two sides to every coin. I'd be sitting on the other side of the table for me right now going like, okay.
Well, either way, you've got a team that, you know, for the first time in a while, you got to see all of them play healthy, and it was just... I mean, that was just a beatdown and unexpected. And you know, Fred, you were kind of knocking the fact that Anthony Davis is just coming back from injury. I mean, you just had a couple guys who might not have played last night. Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker.
It was an impressive win. I didn't say that it was an impressive win. I thought it was very impressive.
Well, LeBron had to be in a car for 2 hours coming in from Springfield to see his son play. So that's another excuse that's being thrown out there.
He was stiff.
Yeah.
he was stiff, but he gets to see his son play.
And I'm sure he was out in like a Honda Civic hatchback, too. I'm sure his knees were really cramped in whatever car he was taking.
What grade is his son in?
How old is he? Like 14?
And he's already playing?
Yeah, Springfield. Yeah. Yep.
So what is that? Like he's at a prep school and he's...
Sierra Canyon, I think. He plays with Dwayne Wade's kid.
Yeah, they play at that school that's like built especially for NBA players' kids.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you
NBA
were
players' kids in the school,
I'm not lying.
NBA players,
I'm not lying. There's like how many NBA players' kids at that school? Yeah. There's like five. So and like I'm not lying to you. You can read about it. The whole athletic program, the basketball program, is built like around having these kids. So don't you dismiss me, Mr. Gorman?
I'm not dismissing. I was just unaware of it. You guys know, I think LeBron gets a bad rap because I think he's, aside from his tendency to have a big ego, is actually a guy who has led an exemplary life as a professional. You don't hear stories about him. You don't hear people talking about his gambling. You don't hear people talk about womanizing. You don't hear people talk about much of anything with LeBron that they can pick on, because he leads a pretty nice private life off the court.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, given he's the best player in the game and has been the best player in the game for quite some time. Yet, other than making a ridiculous decision to go to hire Jim Gray to announce him going to Miami, where they did that, what's he ever done wrong?
He's a douchebag, and he sounds like one in press conferences afterwards. I mean, come on.
Why do you say that?
Because he loves himself. Oh,
he
yeah,
loves
and
to
he,
read.
And he, like, he always brags about reading, yet he has the same Godfather book that he hasn't. It took him like 3 years to read.
And he lays on his stomach in the locker room and reads books. like, look at me, I'm reading. Wow, that's so novel. Oh, and I made another pun. All right. By the way, I made a hysterical joke during that interview, and no one heard it. But that is the way that sometimes my subtle brand of humor goes. All right. Mike Gorman, it's always a pleasure, sir.
All right, guys.
To speak
to you. I'll see you next week from somewhere. I think I'm on the road next week. All right.
Hey, listen, man. You know, just you and Bob Seger. Smoked the day's last cigarette. You know?
How old is Bob? Bob's got to be like 70, right?
He just took his last tour. But I mean, he still brings it. I mean, I'll tell you what, the Silver Bullet
Band. He only brings it for like 5 minutes, though, right?
No, so, I don't think Seeger's turned into a Vince Neil or something, but I think that Seeger's all right. All right, he's from the Motor City, baby. They built it Ford Tough out there.
That's right.
All right, thank you, Mike.
One.
There you go. Bye-bye.
Okay, see you.
Okay.
Not trading Hayward for Drummond is ridiculous.
I made a great joke. And no one heard it, and the audience did.
I missed it.
And the audience, those of you who heard it are great comedic minds. So just, if you heard it, just don't even let anyone know that you heard it.
Somebody said, I love Gorman as much as anyone, but why did you ask if we'll trade anyone? Guy once said he wouldn't trade Tyler Zeller for Jonas Jerebko.
Yeah. He said he wouldn't trade whatever for...
Avery Bradley. He wouldn't trade anyone except for... LeBron James.
You just got to go through the exercise of asking.
So Tyler Zeller, Jonas Jerebko, and who else has he fallen in love with? Avery Bradley.
Oh, Mr.
Greg Steemsma, the Steemser.
Yeah, Steemer.
I don't think he said the Steemer.
No, Steem. That was.
Well, Tommy Heinsohn said he reminded him of Bill Russell.
Yeah, that was right. Tommy Heinsohn.
That's right.
No, Avery Bradley was very, very special to Mike Gorman. I think it went beyond basketball.
Avery Bradley last night. Yep. Yeah, he was.
Looked okay. Started.
Looked all right. Not bad.
Okay.
Started.
All right.
That's it.
Wasn't kind of the point, but whatever.
Yeah.
Now, the Karl Anthony Towns might be a lot. It might be a lot to give up. I understand that. But, I mean, if you're asking me who's a better player, Karl Anthony Towns or Jason Tatum, Karl Anthony Towns is already a star.
Yeah, you can't give up Robert Williams, though. I mean, you just can't. I mean, he's off the table. I mean,
Carl effing Anthony Towns.
Nah. Next thing you were
anyone
gonna
who doesn't want him here has not looked at his numbers.
Then you the next thing you know, you're getting rid of Grant Williams. I mean, there's got to be a place where you hit the brakes. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Job. Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Remember, in 7 minutes, you'll have a chance to get tickets for the Celtics tomorrow night. If you're just joining us, you didn't hear us at 6 o'clock. Young, sickly Nicholas Jamelli has proposed to the woman who found him nearly dead, naked and covered in feces in his bed.
Mm-hmm.
He, in a kind of a fun way that people do this, is that, you know, they'll do like a little fun thing. So he had this trip to New Hampshire that he planned for about 10 people. and her parents were there, and his dad wasn't. But they went up there.
I'm not leaving the North End.
I think it was just them. I don't think they went with
her
parents.
No, no, no.
Her parents were there?
Yeah.
No, nobody was there. It was just you two.
It was just the two of you?
Yeah.
And some- I thought that you went with a bunch of people. All right, my bad. So Nick's like, I got you a massage. And she goes out to get the massage. And in the meantime, Nick makes himself pass out and go to the bathroom. And then mixed into everything, there was a ring.
Surprise.
And then she woke him up and he's like, will you marry me?
Somewhere on me is something valuable to you. You're going to have to search for it, though.
Yeah, it's going to be like it's going to be like a game of Double Dare. Mm-hmm. Can you get in and find the ring? But now he is happily engaged. Nick Gemelli.
Nick was very old school. He asked permission of the parents beforehand, too.
Yep.
Which I just think that just kind of ruins everything, doesn't it?
What's that?
I just think you do that, and you end up, like, they'll tell somebody.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think that she knew? Do you think that they spoiled it? Do you think that she knew something was happening? No, you definitely don't think so?
Probably not. With my, it was funny because my father-in-law, like, I didn't ask anyone's permission, but I don't think I did. But my father-in-law before the wedding was like, if like, you do anything to hurt my daughter, I'll kick your ass. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, really?
I'm like, all right. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's going to be fun. You're old.
You said, I'll kick your ass.
I see something along those lines. And I was like, okay, yeah. You know. Has anyone ever had someone say no?
Yeah. Have you ever asked permission to marry somebody and the parents went, nope, that's not going to happen?
617-779-0985. And then the question is, you're just going to do it anyway.
I'll tell you what. There was one kind of awkward thing. Is that I had told Mary's parents that I was going to, or Mary's father that I was going to marry, but it was after I'd proposed to her. And then about 2 weeks before our wedding, I get a phone call, and it's both of them wanting me to come to their house, but Mary was, like, working. They just wanted me by myself. I'm like, well, this is weird. Mm. And he said, I was like, hey, how's it going? You guys ready for the wedding in a couple weeks? He goes, yes, we're getting a divorce, but I don't want Mary to know.
Why would they tell you that?
Okay. How do I not tell Mary?
Why would they tell you that?
Because they wanted her not to worry during the wedding that they were getting.
So keep it a secret. Don't tell you.
So why did you tell me? And guess what ended up happening when my wife found out that I knew that her parents were getting a divorce?
You're in the crowd.
I'm the one who gets in trouble.
Bird is answering the phone like nobody's business.
I was like, you're getting it. So I had to sit and hold on to this bombshell during the wedding.
Man.
And like throughout, and then there's the 2 weeks where you didn't. So they wanted to tell her after the big honeymoon when they got back. And I was just like, oh boy, it's going to be a fun ending. And so we get home, and then she tells Mary, and we're sitting down together, and she's breaking the news to Mary, and she goes, you know, we told Rich 2 weeks before, and Mary almost wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
She was like, how could you not? How could we start our marriage off?
You should have said.
With you being completely dishonest. You
because your parents are insane.
Jesus.
They said not to say anything.
What I didn't I ask
them for them to tell. And I like how they made you come out to the house.
Yeah, like, why did you tell me that? Why did I need to know that?
There's no reason for that.
And thinking back, I can't even think of the justification, if there even was one, that they would say that.
Why do people make people come to their homes?
I don't know.
Or, like, they have to do things face-to-face.
Man, I don't know.
It would be much more comfortable if you do this on the phone.
Face-to-face is fine, but there was literally no reason to tell me.
How far away did they live from you?
It was a long way.
Yeah,
it was about 30 minutes.
So you had to...
45 minutes.
You had to schlub your way all the way to 30 minutes to get...
And I sat down, and I thought this was going to be something like kind of, you know, hey, I want you to know that we're going to pay for your entire honeymoon.
That's nice.
It's like, hey, now we're talking, you know, because I was essentially a broke musician at the time. But no, it was, hey, just want to let you know, we're getting a divorce. And we're not telling Mary, and we want you to keep it a secret until after you get back from your honeymoon.
Well, someone had to know. Hey, drive out here a half an hour so I can burden you.
And like Mary's like sister and brother, like friends of mine too. And I couldn't like tell them. I couldn't say, how do you not, like your world gets rocked and you can't tell your, that's how you start off your marriage.
Well, I mean, if she's mad at you, that's on her.
Well, I mean, she got mad at me originally and then realized that the entire situation was effed up. And then she realized where the real blame should go. But I mean, I'm telling you, for a good like 20 minutes,
I'd make them
there's rage.
Gas. I'd make him pay for gas. Can you come out here? No. You live a half an hour away. Just say it. You know, there's a new thing called the phone. People don't even talk on the phone anymore. They just text. Like, it's more intimate now to talk on the phone. Skype me.
I'll drive to your house. I ain't answering your phone call. You text me like a real human being, not like a maniac.
See, I like talking on the phone.
No, you don't. I don't answer. You text me.
I like talking on the phone. I like talking to my friends on the phone on the way home from work.
You give me time to think of a witty retort. Don't put me on the spot.
Yep. I tell you, if I talk to someone on the way home every day for the entire ride for half an hour, just about. Yep. I like talking on the phone. Like finding out what's going down. Laugh. You can't laugh over text. You can't joke around.
You can. There's ha-ha. There's emojis.
No, but you can't get a repartee going.
Someone on line one says her Parnet said no.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because Mark Jamelli is on hold.
Now. All right.
We did not ask for Mark Jamelli, but he's been probably watching on Twitch to see his son's life's work. Now, Mark Jamelli, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. What a happy day.
All right, so when Nick, first of all, how did Nick gave a pretty nice ring. I don't know much about diamonds, but it looked nice to me. Yeah. How did Nick get, did you help him out?
No, a friend of the family did.
Okay.
And he picked a perfect stone, and then he went and asked her parents, and which I was very proud that he did it that way. And then he called and said, I'm coming over. And I was just getting on a train at North Station. And I said, yeah, I think I'll go back to the condo. So I walked back, and there he showed up. And he had it in his pocket. And he wanted to show me the ring. I said, don't lose it.
Yeah.
That was my first words, you know.
Do you know that he showed it to us before he showed it to you?
Probably he did. Yeah, he's closer to you guys than me.
Now, are you looking forward to the wedding? Do you have a dream wedding scenario for your son?
Well, through the grapevine, I heard that Brittany always dreamed of getting married in a barn. So I already started trouble yesterday. I talked to the future bride's mother, and I said, I can do one better than that. And she goes, what? I go, I got a two-car garage in Everett that's empty. And we could have the wedding reception there.
Some more birds, like, where? Where? Can I live there?
Yeah, it was Bird's old backyard, but that didn't go over too big. I am so excited.
Mark, I know it is fantastic. What a lovely lady. Now, her parents will be paying for the wedding, correct?
Well, that's to be determined, yeah.
But that's really the right thing to do.
That's customary, but it's a different world today.
And you pay for the honeymoon, right?
Sure. They can go to Brockton at the Holiday Inn for 2 weeks.
But... So what did you say to Nick when you saw the ring? Were you completely surprised?
No, I was hopeful. I had been hopeful. I fell in love with that girl when he got sick by her dedication and her caring of him. It was just, I saw it, you know, and I said, boy, this is a keeper.
Yeah.
Did you give him any...
Anybody that finds him in that state is a keeper, you know?
Yes,
it's covered in feces. Yes, absolutely.
Did you give him any advice for being a married man?
Be happy.
Okay, I have two questions for you.
Yep.
Number one, who are you bringing to the wedding?
Oh.
Well, you know who.
Okay. And
You know who.
Song is his own adult film star?
You're an adult film star. Time of
faith. Okay. Oh, if you did, oh, Mark, that would just be heaven on earth.
Oh, man.
Mother of the groom.
He's talking about
Saugus's home.
Nick and Tyler Faith have to do the mother's dance?
Yeah, the mother's son dance.
Yes, Tyler Faith, Saugus's own adult film star. You can look at her on Instagram over there.
It's now, a lap dance.
Now, you got to go take the thing off her leg. All right, so listen, what advice do you have for Nick on his wedding night? I mean, it's going to be Nick's first time. And is there going to be any kind? Do you have any advice for the wedding night?
Don't fall asleep.
Okay. Don't fall asleep during it?
That's the mistake I made, you know? You're partying at the wedding, you're having a great time, you get back to the hotel, zonked, you know?
I couldn't.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't drink at the wedding because I had diarrhea. And then, so I couldn't consummate the marriage that evening.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I consummated the marriage. I'm not sure if she was there. But I did consummate the marriage, you know. So
the Borscht comic, Mr. Mark Cimelli. Well, Mark Cimelli, congratulations. Are any of your other children married?
My youngest is married, so my middle one isn't. So my oldest daughter isn't. But two out of three will be married.
Okay.
So I am just thrilled because I'm gaining another daughter, and I'm thrilled. I love this girl very much. And her parents. You know, you marry the family as well.
Yeah, and don't I know it? We haven't talked to my mother-in-law in 4 years.
Yeah, well, let me just say this. When I got engaged, my in-laws, future in-laws, called me to the house for a one-on-one. And I thought, oh, this is nice. You know, they want to talk about whatever. And the question was, would like to know how much money you make a year.
And then once you said it, once you told them, they were like, let them get hitched tomorrow.
No, I said the wrong thing. I said to my future father-in-law, well, how much do you make a year?
Mr. Cimelli.
I love it.
And he told me, and I said, oh, I pay my secretary that amount. Never got along with the people. Didn't speak to them for 40 years.
We're in the same boat, at least with my mother-in-law.
Yeah, I feel your pain.
Yes. Well, Mark Cimelli, congratulations.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's so excited. It's nice to hear good news, you know?
Yep,
indeed. It really is.
All right, Mr. Cimelli, thank you so much for the time. Talk to you soon.
Guys, love you all. And I'm on Twitch every day.
Okay, so you can talk to Mark Cimelli on Twitch.
Yeah, it's fabulous, you know?
Yes, it is. All right, well, Mark Cimelli, thank you so much. We're up against it.
I got to keep the kid working. All right, I'll talk to you later.
That's right. He's got a big-time job. All right, I will give away the Celtics tickets coming up right after this.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.